be back home tonight. Just a second, let me get this contraption on here. Brother Joe, good to see you again. Been a long time. Good to see you and those folks visiting with you there. Good to have you. And all of you. You're right with you. Just hold on. Don't anybody run. Well, if you've got a King James Version, turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. I believe the Lord would have me to speak on verse 7, Matthew 5, verse 7. Let's read the first seven verses. Matthew 5, starting at verse 1, page 999 in your old Scofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Matthew 5, 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And then verse 7, and this is what I want to speak to you about. I feel like the Lord would have me to preach on this verse tonight. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for one more time this side of eternity of coming to God's house. And Lord, I thank you for this privilege one more time of standing here in this pulpit and opening the Word of Life, the Word of God, the God-breathed book. We thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your precious Word. What would we do without your Word? Lord, make it, I pray, and speak to our hearts. Lord, I believe this is what you want me to speak on tonight. And Lord, I confess, Lord, after 57 years of preaching, that Lord, I can't preach unless you help me. And Lord, tonight, would you help me as I preach on this topic? And may Jesus be glorified, and may the saints of God be helped. That's Brother Jody now, as he's down in Texas. Just use him for your glory down there. And bless, I pray, in this service. Bless Sunday. Give us a great day. Then, Lord, I pray for our country. The great, Lord, there's a great falling away. The apostasy is certainly settled in all across this country. But Lord, we know that God is still on the throne. Lord, your purposes are not going to be hindered by the sin and evil on every hand. So we just pray that you'd be glorified. God bless America. And God bless us tonight here in this service. We love you. Lord, now again, I can't preach. I can't handle the Word of Life without your help. And would you give me that liberty and anointing I need? And may the Lord be glorified in this service. In his name we pray. Amen. An English preacher over 300 years ago said these Beatitudes are like the stairs of Solomon's temple. I like that. That calls our ascent to the Holy of Holies, that is, into the very presence of God. And I read just the first five steps here tonight in our ascent of this wonderful stairway of the Beatitudes. And the first four deal with man's relationship to God. And they're more inward and introspective. But the fifth beatitude has to do with man's disposition toward his fellow man. And it concerns itself with man's attitudes and outward attitudes and relationships. So that's what I want to deal with tonight. I'm told merciful, the Greek word where we get merciful, I'm told, also means compassionate. It could be translated compassionate. So Jesus is saying, blessed or happy are the compassionate. And it was most interesting to me to find out that the Hebrew word for godly, the same word could also be translated merciful. And the more godly we become, the more merciful we'll be. And God is holy, God is good, God is just. God is always right. Old John Bishop, heard him on the radio today, and he said, God is always good, and God is always right. Isn't that wonderful? And if any man could ever preach the truth of that, it's John Bishop. But also, one of the great characteristics of our God, and that's what we're going to deal with tonight, he is a merciful God. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad, listen, I'm glad he is merciful, or sinful man, but listen, we wouldn't have a chance, would we? We wouldn't have a chance. I mean, he is kind, he's compassionate, and he's merciful. And he pities us. God pities us. He pities us so much, he sent his son to die for us. That's how much God pities us and is merciful toward us. Numbers 14:18 says, God's mercy is great. Psalms 86:5 says God's mercy is plenteous. That puts you on shouting ground right there, doesn't it? Luke 1:78 says, God's mercy is tender. And then Psalm 109:21 says, God's mercy is good. And then Micah 7:18 says, God delighteth. I mean, God delights in being merciful to you and to me. And then Ephesians 2:4 says God is rich in mercy. And that is why the psalmist David said in Psalm 59:16, I will sing aloud of thy mercy. In other words, with David, we ought to sing aloud or just shout aloud because of God's great mercy to us. And so members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and you who are visiting here tonight, if we're going to be godly people, we have to be merciful people. Merciful. Mothers have a sort of a tendency to be merciful and kind. We men have to sort of work on that a little bit. But you might say, preacher, what does it mean to be merciful? What did Jesus have in mind when he said this? Well, first, let me say, merciful is not just being showing outward pity, just so I pity that person, or not saying I sympathize with you, or shedding tears. We say crocodile tears sometimes. It's not just being easygoing about everything. That's not it. And two, in the sight of God, it is being merciful is not mollycoddling criminals and overlooking the rights of victims now. I mean, like these liberals and these bleeding heart judges are doing across America in our courts today. But let's look at just what it means to be merciful. First of all, and this is the basic meaning, it means to be compassionate. To be compassionate. A merciful person acts from a heart that is full of compassion for the needs of his fellow man. And a compassionate person is kind and considerate and sympathetic. He's full of pity for all who suffer in any way. That's the way we ought to be. Anybody that has a need, we ought to be merciful and compassionate toward it. I read about a preacher who was in a big hurry one morning, and he wanted to stop and get his shoe to shine. And it seemed like it took the shoe shine bowl forever to shine his shoes. And the more he shined those shoes, the worse they looked. And finally, the preacher said some unkind remark to that boy. And that shoe shine boy looked up and said, I'm sorry, sir. And he said, my mother died this morning, and I'm just trying to make a little money to buy some flowers to put on her casket. Well, that preacher saw those boys. His tears were falling on his shoes. That's the reason it couldn't be shined. And so that preacher learned a lesson that morning that we should be compassionate toward others. You don't know what a person's going through with. You know it. And, you know, let me digress just a minute here, too. Some of us went out for breakfast after prayer meeting Saturday morning. And we were waiting on that biscuit and gravy to come. And the waitress stopped just a minute. She knew, I've known this waitress. She used to work over Perkins and another place or two as waitress. And she told me, she said, you know, church people on Sunday are worse than any people we serve all week long. Now, that hurt me. That hurt me. And she said, they gripe, complain, and don't tithe much either. She didn't say tithe, though. She said tip. And I didn't know what to say, so I said, ma'am, spirit-filled, godly people are not that way. It's carnal people that way. And so, folks, I'm on metal a little bit, because I've been pastor 40-something years. As you know, I'm going to help you. And so, when we go out to eat, we ought still to be Christ-like. We ought not gripe and complain and throw a hissy when the food's not exactly right. Now, you can call attention to it, but you ought to be a, and another thing, too, if you're going to show yourself and act like an idiot, you ought not pray over that food. You ought not leave a track if you're going to act that way. It's a disgrace of the name of Christ. Now, I know I'm getting way off on the topic tonight, but I'm saying we ought to be gentle and kind. And, a lot of these waitresses and waiters in these restaurants, many of them are having a hard time. And got kids at home, probably some of these women are divorced. And they need us to be kind to them. And we ought to be kind and merciful all as we go down through life. So being merciful does mean that we have a heart of compassion and pity and sympathy and love. But real mercy goes a step farther. It is to be helpful and giving. The psalmist said in Psalm 37:21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous, listen, watch this now, showeth mercy and giveth. One of the greatest illustrations of being merciful is the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10. Man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Thieves robbed him and beat him, and they even stripped him of his clothes and left him half dead lying on the side of the road. Well, here come a Levite by, or first of all, a priest by. He was too busy doing the Lord's work, and he just went by on the other side. And here come a Levite. He's in the Lord's work too, and he probably had a religious meeting or a committee meeting of some kind. So he passed by on the other side. Didn't have time for the man lying there dying, stripped, beaten, half dead. And here come a despised Samaritan along and had compassion and mercy on this poor half dead fella. He poured wine and oil in his wounds and bound him up, put him on his own beast, and took him to an inn and took care of him. And the next morning, I'm talking about a hated Samaritan. The next morning, he paid the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come, I will repay thee. Now the Good Samaritan saw a need and was touched by it. He didn't say, God bless you, and pass by on the other side. He did something about it. And 1 John 3:17 says, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, when I was a boy, small boy back home down in Saudi, Tennessee, right before I retired from this church, I'm not retired from preaching, but after 46 years, somebody told me that everybody here at Buffalo Ridge knows about Saudi by now. So, but when I was a boy down in Saudi, gypsies, this was in the 30s, late 30s, early 40s, gypsies would come by and beg it. And begging for food. Now when I was, we didn't have much, but we had enough to eat. We had a big plate of fried potatoes on the table, and a pan of cornbread, and a big bowl of pinto beans. And Sister Leslie, she's bowed her head over there. Look up, honey, smile. That's what she had for me. No, she didn't have the potatoes, but I still love pinto bean. And by the way, Mama would put, she'd fry those potatoes in lard and cornbread, pan of cornbread in lard, and put a big chunk of fat meat or lean meat in there. My wife's about to have a heart attack over there right now. I'm glad she doesn't feed me that way. but anyway, when my dad, also every morning, since we're on food, My dad, before he went to the under the mountains to mine coal, he had to have biscuits and gravy every morning. Now, if he had been insulted, if Mama would have plopped some toast down in front of him. And I want you to know, America didn't go liberal and apostate until toast came on the scene. Don't you know? That's a sign when they gave up biscuit and gravy and went to toast. But now back to these gypsies. They would come by the house and with their children and say they didn't have a thing to eat. And my mama wouldn't. We didn't have much, but my mama, I saw compassion. I saw mercy. My mama would go get a box of crackers and a jar of peanut butter and maybe some apples we had in the round hand. And she'd give them to those gypsies. And I was a little scared of them. They were so strange looking, you know. And they went out in front of the house, and we had ditches in front of the house. And back then, where the water run off. And so they'd sit down in those ditches and eat that peanut butter and put that peanut butter on those crackers. And my mama's love and compassion for those gypsy people still touch me to this day. If I have any compassion about me, I learned it from my mother. And so we need to be a merciful person not only sees a need, but he tries to meet the need. Help somebody today. Somebody along life's way, let sorrow be ended, the friendless befriended. Oh, help somebody today. That's what merciful is, just trying to help somebody in need and giving of yourself to people. Then also, not only will a merciful person be kind and loving and compassionate and giving and helpful, but merciful also means don't miss this. It means to be forgiving too. Forgiving. And to be merciful is not only a matter of Christ-like love and compassion and a Samaritan-like service, but also a God-like forgiveness. It was in the heart of Abraham when he'd been wronged by his nephew that caused him to take 300 of his armed servants and deliver Lot. Now he could have said, I'm not going to risk my neck for that sorry rascal. He could have said that, but he didn't do it. Abraham had mercy in his heart for his nephew. And then it was mercy that caused Joseph to freely forgive his brothers. They sold him in slavery down in Egypt. Years later, he told them, you thought evil against me. But what happened? God meant it for good. God meant it for good. And he didn't get bitter. He could have been bitter about it. But he saw the good hand of God in it all. As I said today, John Bishop, bless his heart, he's been through, I don't know if any person has been through what John Bishop's been through. And he said, God is good and God is always right. And we need to understand it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything now, but in everything, give thanks. For this is in everything give thanks, for this is the will of what? I forgot that. Well, I was going to quote that, but for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's it. Okay. And it was mercy in the soul of David that caused him to spare King Saul's life. King Saul had come into the cave. David was hiding in the recess of that cave. And here came King Saul is after him to kill him. And there he was, sound asleep. And one of his men said, now's your chance. He said, oh no. He said, I will not touch God's anointed. And that was mercy in his soul. God had already told him that he was going to be king of Israel. And he would wait on God. Because God had promised him that. And it was mercy that caused Stephen, who was being stoned to death, to kneel down and look up to heaven and say with a loud voice, Lord, as the stones rained down upon him, sucking life out of his body, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Folks, only a born again, spirit-filled child of God could show that kind of forgiving spirit. An unsaved person couldn't do it. It's hard for anybody, but the Spirit of God, of a born again and a born again believer, can give us that type of attitude. And I think one of the hardest things that any child of God has to do, it is for me now, and I'm sure it is for you, is to forgive those who have wronged you and hold no bitterness or grudge in their heart toward them. I know it's hard on all of us. You say, preacher, what do you do when people wrong you? Did people ever wrong you? Well, for 46 years, I put up it all the time. Just like the rest of your life, you're going to have people wronging you, and they're going to crook you and say bad things about you. And I react just like you do, believe it or not. See, preacher's not supposed to do that. Well, I'm flesh just like you are. And I don't like it. But now here's the thing. If I allow resentment and hard feelings to build up in my heart, you know what I do? Just like you do, I lose out with God. I lose out with God. And you do too when you allow resentment, hard. And you know what? I can't pray. I can't pray when I've got bitterness in my heart. You can't either. Don't look at me that way. And you've been there too. And when I come up here early in the morning, go in that room there, I can't get anything out of my old King James Version if I've got bitterness and hard feelings in my heart. Sometimes, some mornings, little old thing, the devil can use it to just throw you off just helter-skelter spiritually. I've come up here in the morning early and I'd try to read, and I couldn't get a thing out of the Word. I'd go over to McDonald's to get me a cup of coffee. Try to shake it off. But, you know, the Holy Spirit then starts dealing with me when I get like that and impresses me that's not the way for a child of God to feel in their heart. And I say, yes, Lord, you're right. And Lord, help me to have the right feeling toward that person. That's what all of us are going to have it down through life. And I found the best way to get rid of hard feelings is pray for that person. Just pray for them. And you can't pray for a person to have hard feelings in your heart about it. So look, turn over in your Bible to Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And if you're saved, here's the reason. You ought to listen to me now. Get this. Here's the reason. If you're saved, you ought to forgive those who wrong you. Because remember, when you got saved, the Lord forgave you. And that's because you have been forgiven, you ought to. And to just think of all the wicked, deeds and evil thoughts he has forgiven you for since you've been saved. Here a while back, I was over at a lake praying. And the Lord reminded me for over 50 years he had been merciful to me. I mean, Brother Jack, for 50 years, God's been merciful. He's forgiven me when I failed. When I've had the wrong attitude. And saved people ought to forgive because they have been forgiven. Look again, Matthew 6:14-15. Matthew 6:14-15. Now here's another reason we ought to, and this is still in the same reason I'm talking about well to forgive. 14:6, 14-15. For if ye give men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Listen now, if you don't forgive people, if you're sitting here tonight with unforgiving spirit in your heart, God is not hearing and answering your prayers. Right here it says so. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I mean, God's not forgiving. He's not answering your prayers. He's not blessing you. He's not forgiving you of your sin, forgiving you the sin, the thought and deed. Unless you forgive your fellow man. And listen to this. By the way, You know what I refuse to do? I refuse to be a bitter man. I can get bitter just like you can, but you ought to just determine in your soul, I refuse to be a bitter person. You ought to just determine that. And we're more like God when we forgive than any other way, because God forgives us all the time. And we ought to do the same. Now let me mention another thing being merciful means. And this is tremendous. And it's a holy disposition when we are merciful. Because you're merciful because you're born again. Do you know that? That's why you're merciful. And you're merciful because you belong to the family of God. And God is merciful, and if you're truly born of God's Spirit, you'll have the same family trait. Isn't that right? Am I telling the truth? If you're born again and have the Spirit living within, that Holy Spirit will help you. Now, sometimes it's hard. I have to admit, I go through the same thing. But if the Holy Spirit's within and he starts checking you, usually God's born-again people will eventually, they'll get it worked out. And they'll repent. And so we ought to forgive those who have wronged us. We ought to be kind and helpful to those who are in need. But one of the most merciful things you can do is to tell somebody who's lost and on the way to hell that Jesus is a wonderful Savior. That's the most merciful thing that you can do. It's a merciful thing, folks, to weep over souls. Now, I think one of them, as I look back, I've been preaching 57 years, and as I look back, when I was a boy in the churches, I saw people weeping over lost people. We don't see much of that weeping today. We don't see it. And folks, we ought to weep over our lost loved ones, lost friends. We ought to do it. We ought to be broken. We ought to, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. And if God sees you broken before some, you can get your prayers through. We can see our unsaved friends saved if we just get broken before God for them. As Jeremiah the prophet, he was merciful when he cried out, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." So folks, we ought to get a broken heart. Listen, business will pick up if you and I just get a broken heart. I think that's what's lacking. Now, I'm a fundamentalist from top to bottom, in and out. Cut me and I'll bleed fundamental independent Baptist. But I think that one of the things we're lacking is broken heart today. It's not enough just to blast God. I'm an independent Baptist. I'm a dispensationalist. I'm a premillennialist. I'm King James. All that. That's all good. But what about a broken heart? What about tears? How long has it been since you shed tears? Fundamentalism, independent Baptist need to get back to being broken before God. Have a broken and a contrite heart. Then let me give you one other thing. This is, I believe, was what the Lord wanted me to preach today. I felt I need this and you need it. One other thing, though. What does being merciful mean? It means to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. While our Savior's on this earth, what did he do? He went about doing good, didn't he? Went about doing good. He healed the leper, opened blinded eyes, made the lame to walk. And he took a boy's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, 2 small fishes, and fed 5,000 hungry men, plus the women and plus the children, probably 15,000, 18,000 people, they think. And then this poor widow is in a funeral procession to bury her son. And one day, Jesus stopped the funeral procession and restored the widow's son to life. Death had to flee when Jesus came around. I'm glad of that, aren't you? And he wept at the tomb of his friend and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And then he said, "Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go." And our Savior says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Just come on to Jesus. Just come on to Jesus. Just come on to Jesus, he said, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek, lowly of heart, lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now that's what he means by being merciful. And then see him on the cross. What mercy Jesus showed at Calvary. He never committed the first sin, not one sin. Yet there on Calvary, he was dying so poor, lost, hell-bound sinners can be saved. What mercy. Cruel men pressed the crown of thorns on his brow. Blood came trickling down. They nailed his hands and feet, my Savior, to the cross. The perfect Lamb of God nailed to the cross. And he said, when he said, I thirst, they gave him vinegar mixed with gall. They laughed at him, spit on him, mocked him. And they tossed a spear into his side, and water and blood came gushing out. And as the song says, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and for me. Now, folks, we ought to try as we go down through life. Now, we can't be like Jesus in this life. We will be like him one day. But we ought to try to be like Jesus. And then another way we ought to be like Jesus, when he hung there on the cross, dying in agony there on the cross, he looked down and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. They don't really understand what they're doing. So if you want to be like Jesus, you're going to have to be merciful to your fellow man. Show mercy. And you can still be a good fundamentalist and be merciful. You're not a good fundamentalist if you're not merciful. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on thy heart. We ought to be like Jesus. We ought to try to be like him. Now we can't be like him, but we ought to try to be like Jesus. You say, preacher, to be merciful, that seems like it's an impossible task. How can I be merciful? How can I be compassionate? Well, you can't do it in yourself. You can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it. It's not natural. It's a work of God's Spirit in our hearts. That's the only way. And it's in the life of a born. That's why a little sign in the card and joining the church and getting baptized is not good enough. That's why you need to be born again. You can't ever be merciful. You can't ever really live the Christian life until you're born again. We're not getting people born again. We're making little decisions. We need them. I'm glad I got born again. They got me down on my knees and prayed with me. And as you know, I've told you many times, the town drunk shouted all around me, scared me to death. But we both got born again and both became Baptist preachers that night. I believe today we ought to work on getting people, not just running through a Roman road. I'm not against that. Don't get me wrong. We ought to pray that people get born again. People need to get born again. And when you get genuinely saved, the Holy Spirit takes that selfishness and hate out, and the Holy Spirit places love there. And that'll help you to be merciful. You know the reason we're not as merciful as you? We're just not full of the love of God like we ought to be. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. And when Christ comes in and he's real to you, he'll have teach you to be kind and compassionate and merciful to your fellow man. That's what I believe. I believe the Lord made that on my heart tonight. I really do. Are you a merciful Christian? Are you trying to be compassionate and kind and helpful to other people? Are you generous to others? You know, that's the flesh is not naturally generous. You know that. We want it all to ourselves. But The Lord teaches us to be generous. One of the things Dr. Bill Reisman, he held a revival over there. You know what he taught me years ago, and it's helped me, and I believe it's helped this church, because I told you. He said, Brother Gene, he said, be generous to every preacher and every missionary and every evangelist that comes to church. And I told our people that, and we were generous to every preacher, every missionary, every evangelist come here. We tried to see they got a good offering. And you know what? God has blessed this church, and you have blessed me because of it. So it pains you. The chickens will come home to roost when you're generous to other people. God will be generous to you. And let me ask you this tonight, just a couple of questions, now about three. Do you help those who are in need when it is in your power to do so? And we ought to go about doing good. It's when it's in our power. And I don't let people take advantage of me and con men come along and do that. But when there's a legitimate need and you feel led of the Lord, you ought to try to help people. Do you, like Jesus, forgive those who wrong you? If you're saved tonight, you're a miserable person if you're not forgiving those who wrong you. Well, you don't know what they did. I can't help it. I know this. You're the loser when you don't forgive people. And do you weep over those who are lost and on the broad road of destruction? Folks, let's get back to weeping over lost people. We can be soul winners if we just weep over people. I remember, I can reminisce all night, but it's just 5 to 8. I got 5 minutes here. I remember one night I went out with a missionary to a lost man's house, and he took him right down the Romans road, tried to win him the Lord. He didn't get him no more saved than that offering plate got saved there. You know what I did? I just got down. I knelt right in front of him. You know what I did? Now, I don't usually do this, but I just started weeping in front of him. And if I'd called his name, some of you know it is. And I said, why don't you just get saved tonight? And because I didn't say much, I just wept. It shocked him that I'd weep over him, and he got saved. Start trying to weep over people. That's being merciful to people. You can be a good soul winner if you just start weeping over people. Now, I know you can go into people about weeping, but I'll tell you, it's a lot easier when you're burdened and they see you broken to win people to Jesus Christ. Well, let's just bow our heads and be dismissed in prayer. Father, we thank you for this privilege. Lord, I believe this is what you want me to dwell on tonight. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm telling these people they ought to be merciful. Lord, I need to be merciful too and be kind and Lord, show compassion toward my fellow man and forgive my fellow man and help all of us. Lord, bless us tonight. Bless this Sunday. Give us a great day. Bless Brother Jody out in Texas. And bless everyone that's come this way tonight. Lord, help us to be merciful so you can we'll receive mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. God bless you.
Bus workers, you are dismissed to bus meeting in the Berean classroom. And if you're going to bring ice cream, make sure you sign up if you would tonight. If you're visiting, make sure you stop at the Welcome Center. Lord bless you. Great to have you. Good evening.